curse was pain. It's hard for us to comprehend this morning, but had Adam and Eve not sinned in the garden, they would have lived forever. They would have never gotten sick. They would have never experienced pain. There was no thorns for Adam to prick his finger upon. Oh, there was no danger for him there. Well, preacher, why do we have sorrow? Why do we have pain? Why do we have grief in this life? Because of the curse. Second reason is because of circumstances. Sometimes, and we laugh and pick about this, and I've said it over and over again, and I lived it the other day. I had a flat tire the other day. And I said, if I was a superstitious Baptist, I'd say the devil had something to do with this. But what I did, somebody threw something out in the road over here, over the railroad track, and I hit it. Somebody said, how do you know somebody threw something out in the road? Because it went down in 30 seconds. Somebody had it out for me, all right? I don't know what it is, but it wasn't the devil. The devil's got more things to do than go around popping your tires. Can somebody help me? He's got more to do than going around messing up your AC unit. Somebody help me, amen. He's got more to do than do things like that. He is the Lord of darkness. He ain't after your Michelins. Somebody help me, amen. We think that's the devil coming after us, and we think sometimes things just happen. Sometimes circumstances just occur that we ain't got nothing to control of. It's just life. I don't like it, but it just happens. I'm not minimizing it, but it's there. See, we want to find somebody to blame it on. The reason that happened, it's got to be because of something they did or because of something I did. No, sometimes it's because it's cheap junk. Say amen, Brittany. She's experiencing that with her car right now. Amen. I'm just telling you, it's by the time it gets done, it's going to be brand new, all the stuff we've had to put on it. I'm just telling you, sometimes it's just cheap junk. It just happens. Things break. People break down. My goodness, some of you are 120. You're going to get sick. You're not going to run forever. It's just part of life. Circumstances. The curse. But then I thought about because of the context. We must never forget preaching through these Beatitudes, through this Sermon on the Mount, who Jesus is talking to. Remember that crowd in Matthew 4? All that crowd that healed, those that had diseases in verse 23 and 24, those that were in distress, the ones that had the torments, those that were possessed with devils, those that were disturbed, those that had difficulties, the palsies, and all those people Jesus healed. But just because he healed them did not mean that they did not still have a track record of pain that they had suffered through. He didn't wipe away their memories. He didn't wipe away the days they had crawled around the ground because they were crippled. He didn't wipe away the terrible memories that their family had experienced for those who was possessed with devils. Y'all with me this morning? Sometimes in this context, Jesus wants to remind us that you can be saved. You can have that healing that he brought to them. He can make all the difference in your life, but you are still going to have times of mourning. Well, preacher, I thought when I got saved, all my problems were solved. All your eternal problems were solved. Amen. But you're not living in the eternal yet. You're living every day. And in the everyday life, you're going to mourn. So there is the pronounced certainty. Blessed are they that mourn. But then I thought about this. There are the probable causes of mourning. Why do people mourn? Why do people sorrow? Why do people grieve? Instead of going on a website to try to find out what causes grief and mourning, I went to the Bible. Ain't that a novel idea? I began to look up the word mourn in our Bible. Here's the first reason people mourn: death. The first time the word mourn is used in your Bible is in Genesis chapter 23. I'll read it to you. Genesis chapter 23, verse 1. And Sarah was 107 and 20 years old, just a little bit older than Miss Janice. These were the years of the life of Sarah. The Bible said, and Sarah, oh, here's your little Bible fact. That's the only woman in the Bible God gave her age of when she died. We have Anna's age when she's still living in the book of Luke. We don't know how old she was when she died. But God gave us Sarah's age. I guess God's just getting back in her for her being so mean to Abraham. I don't know. Look at verse 2. And Sarah died at Kirjath-Jearba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. Here's the first mention of the word mourn in your Bible. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Abraham's bride has just died. You know, it's interesting. God comes to Abraham in Genesis 12 and says, I want you to leave your family, your possessions, everything you have, and go to a land that I'm going to tell you of. He didn't know where he was going. I don't read where Abraham wept one time. No tears. God comes to Abraham and lets him know he's going to destroy, Lot and Abraham have that disagreement. Lot leaves. Lot goes to Sodom and Gomorrah. His family's turned upside down. Abraham prays for him, but you never find Abraham weeping over Lot. You don't find Abraham weeping when Sarah sends Ishmael and Hagar out. I know that was a bad thing, but that's still Abraham's boy. And he had to send him out to die in the wilderness, and God preserved him. But Abraham didn't know that was going to happen. I don't even read any tears in Genesis 22 when God woke Abraham up one morning and said, I want to take Isaac, that promised seed, up the mountain and kill him. I don't read one tear. But when Sarah died, the Bible said he went to mourn and weep for her. You know why Abraham didn't weep all those other times? Because Abraham had a choice in all them other situations. He could have stayed in Ur of the Chaldees, not listened to God. He could have said, Lot, we're going to stay right here. We're going to work this out. He could have told Sarah, no, we're not sending Ishmael out. He could have said, God, no, I'm not taking Isaac out of that mouth. He had a choice in all that. But he didn't have a choice when Sarah died. That was out of his hands. And when his bride died, when that one he had given his life to died, the Bible said he came to mourn and to weep for her. I got a friend of mine writing a book right now on grief. His wife passed away, and he's currently writing a book. And you know, there's some things you shouldn't say to somebody in a funeral line. You know what you ought to say to somebody when you go through a funeral line? I love you and I'm praying for you. Nothing else. Don't say, I know how you feel. You don't. Well, I had the same loved one in my family die. It's still not the same. Everybody grieves a different way. Everybody processes grief a different way. So don't insult them by saying, I know how you feel. Somebody help me. We mean well, but we're not doing well. And don't say, well, God has a plan. Don't preach them a sermon. They don't need a sermon right then. They need to know, I love you and I'm praying for you, and move on. Some of us have been standing there for 3 hours. Somebody help me, amen. What my whole point is this morning, Baptists will come through and they'll say, now don't weep for them. You know, the Bible says we're not to sorrow. I don't know why I talk like that when I'm making fun of somebody, but it just sounds like that's what somebody would say. They don't read the Bible. You know, the Bible said don't sorrow. You know, don't. That ain't what it says. The Bible said we sorrow not as those that have no hope, meaning we do sorrow. Abraham is known as the friend of God, the man of faith, the big dog. There wouldn't be no Israel without Abraham. Y'all with me? There would be no Jews without Abraham. And when he's burying his wife, he can't hold it together. He's mourning and weeping for her. The second area in the Bible that I saw, this is not all of them, but I put three areas. Death, but then number two, people mourn in disappointment. 1 Samuel chapter 16 tells us about Samuel. God comes to the prophet Samuel and says, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? You know why Samuel was mourning over Saul? Because Saul was supposed to be the king and be the leader of the nation of Israel. Samuel had confidence that Saul would be the man that God would use in the nation of Israel. But Saul did not live up to God nor Samuel's expectations. And the Bible said that Samuel was mourning for Saul. Saul ain't dead. Saul won't die until the end of the book of 1 Samuel. But Samuel has got disappointed. Somebody that he loved, somebody he trusted, somebody he had confidence in has let him down. Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? The Bible said in the book of Proverbs chapter 25 verse 19 that confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. It ain't good to nobody. Here's Samuel. I mean, they've rejected him. He feels like they've really not rejected Samuel. They've rejected the Lord, is what the Lord told Samuel. They want Saul. And so I really believe that Samuel believes in Saul. And some of you had a preacher let you down. Some of you had a Sunday school teacher let you down. Somebody you went to church with, a deacon, somebody that you had confidence in. They seem to have a walk with God. They seem to really be something for the Lord. And they let you down. And you still ain't got over it. I've got books in my office, Bibles in my office given to me by men who disappointed me. Men who poured into my life and invested in me things that I am still operating in this very morning, even the structuring of this outline that disappointed me. And you can sit around and mourn for Saul all you want to, but you know what God told Samuel to do? Get up and fill thine horn with oil. Death, disappointment. Here's a third reason people mourn. Despair. Psalm 55. In that context, Psalm 55, David has just been betrayed by Ahithophel. Ahithophel was David's counselor. And he turned on him and sided with Absalom. You know why Ahithophel turned against David? Because he had a granddaughter by the name of Bathsheba. And he never got over what David did. And he felt like David got away with it. So he turned on him. Here's what David said in Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God. Hide not thy face from my supplication. Attend unto me. Hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make noise. My heart is sore pain within me. He ain't talking about outward. He's talking about something on the inside that is tearing him apart. Are y'all picking up what I'm laying down this morning? He's mourning. Death, disappointment, and despair. Now, there could be other things, but I think we'd agree any type of mourning or sorrow could fall under those three categories. His heart is pain. That's physical. That's a physical malady. That disappointment, that's a mental. The death, that's a spiritual, a physical, a mental, all wrapped up in one. And Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn. Y'all should be happy. That don't make sense. Lord, can you be? Remember, that word blessed does not mean that you are happy because of your circumstances. That word blessed, now tune in now, that word blessed means that you are happy in spite of your circumstances. There is the pronounced certainty of mourning. There are the probable causes of mourning. But then notice the promised comfort in mourning. Blessed are they that mourn, for they might. That ain't what your Bible says. Y'all looking at your Bible? They might? No. They shall be comforted. Jesus said, I'm going to tell you how you can be happy. You're going to have mourning. You're going to have sorrow. You're going to have grief. You're going to have pain. But for all the grief, and for all the sorrow, and for all the pain you're going to have comfort to help you with that. They shall be comforted. Now that word comfort is a very interesting word. I looked up my Strong's Concordance and it gave me three definitions. And it just fit in my outline. That first word, first of all, that word comfort, it means to call to one side. It means to stand with. Here's what Jesus said, you're going to mourn. And you're going to grieve, but I'm going to come stand with you. Amen. You may mourn and you may grieve, but you will not do it alone because you shall be comforted. Aren't you glad Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Long after the funeral's over, long after the disappointment's over, long after the pain is over and you're trying to heal, I'm so glad there's a God in heaven that'll stand by us when everybody walks away. That'll be with us when we've been disappointed. That'll be with us when despair and death and sorrow has gripped our life. Jesus said, I'm going to tell you how you can be happy, not because of your circumstances, but in spite of your circumstances. Blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. He said, you may sorrow, but you're not going to have to stand alone. That word comfort means he's going to stand with us. Here's what Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Aren't you glad if you're saved by the grace of God this morning, the Holy Spirit of God indwells you. And if you're saved this morning, people may walk away. Friends may forsake you and leave you. But I'm glad there is a friend that will never leave us. He is a very present help in trouble. It means to stand with. But then, The second definition, it means to speak to. That word comfort, that word comforted, it means to stand with and speak to. Here's what Jesus said. I'm going to stand with you and I'm going to talk to you. Preacher, sometimes I don't know what to say to somebody that's hurting. You know, Jesus has never been in that spot. He's always known what to say. He's always known what to do. He's always known how to help. He's always known how to assist. It speaks of the comfort in God's Word. And aren't you glad this morning that we have comfort in the Word of God? Oh, when nobody else understands, when nobody else comprehends, I'm glad God has given us a book that we can study and read. And it's not just a book of information, but it is a book of inspiration that'll help us and that'll comfort us in our trouble and our difficult times. Amen. This is good preaching. Enjoy it. I'm not saying it's good because I'm doing it, but if that word is teaching us this morning that if you've gone through grief, if you've gone through sorrow, He said He'd stand by you and He'll speak to you through His word. It means to stand with. It means to speak to. But there's a third definition of that word comforted. It means to console or to encourage. I wrote down it means to support. In other words, He said, I'm not just going to stand by you. And I'm not just going to speak to you. But I'm going to help you make it through. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to console you. I'm going to help you. You will make it through. Somebody said, preacher, that just going line by line. That preacher going to kill your church. It feels pretty good this morning. Amen. I'm glad there is help and hope for the child of God. Here's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength in so much that we despaired even of life, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. And He'll go on to say this: Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort therewith we ourselves have been comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation aboundeth by Christ. Here's what Paul said: I got to a point where I didn't think I could make it, where I couldn't go on, but when I thought I was done, there came a power from another world, there came help from another world. Who was it, Paul? It was the God of all comfort. When I was pressed out of measure and thought I was going to die and I wasn't going to make another night and I wasn't going to make another day, something welled up in my soul and I went one more mile. I took one more step. I went more. Who was it? It was the God of all comfort. No wonder Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. There's comfort. You know what Jesus said? It is expedient I go away. If I go not away, the comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And in the upper room, He fulfilled that promise. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever men is found. The comforter has come. Now, you'll recall that we talked about those probable causes of mourning and grief. You remember that? We talked about despair. Well, you know, in Psalm 55, when David was grieving and mourning because of despair, he found help. You know what the rest of Psalm 55 says? As for me, I will call upon God. He shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He will hear my voice. Did you know Psalm 55 has this verse too? When David was mourning, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. Looks like He's going to support you. Here's what David said: Ahithophel turned on me and he let me down, but I was able to cast that burden on the Lord and He sustained me. He found help in his mourning. Samuel, remember Samuel? He's mourning because of disappointment. Saul's let him down. But you read 1 Samuel 16 a little bit further, and God sent him to a house, a man by the name of Jesse. And out there watching the sheep, and here comes a boy skipping over the hills, playing his harp and killing lions and bears, named David. And little did Samuel know that day that he was fixing to anoint the man that would be the man that would have the tribe of the line and the tribe of Judah, the son of David, our Savior, would be called. You see, that disappointment led him to Jesus. But then there's Abraham, that death. The Bible teaches us in Genesis 23, go home and read it. Abraham was sojourning in that land. He went to those sons of Heth. He said, Sarah's died, and I don't have a place to bury her. Can I purchase a place? That's the only piece of property that Abraham owned after he left in Genesis 12. It was a place of sorrow. So you know what they did? They sold him the cave of Machpelah. And if you study out the book of Genesis, all the rest of his patriarchs, Isaac, Jacob and Leah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Leah were buried in the cave of Machpelah along with Abraham and Sarah. But here's what's interesting about Machpelah. If you look up the word Machpelah, it means a double cave. That's interesting. As I was reading that and sitting behind some men more educated than I am, here's what they said that means. That tomb, that cave, that tomb had an entrance, but it also had an exit. It means you went in, but there was a way to get out. It had a double entrance. So when Abraham put Sarah in that cave, he went in one side and walked out another, reminding him, this is not the end. There is an exit to this grave. And I want to remind you this morning, you that have fallen a casket to a graveyard somewhere, you put them in a double cave if they were born again. You put them in a double cave, they entered, but Paul, we read it this morning, said the dead in Christ are going to rise first. They're going to rise and we're going to meet them together with our Lord in the air. Here's the whole point. Yes, you mourn. Yes, you grieve. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't let some bionic Baptist tell you that's wrong. We all mourn. We all grieve different ways. I understand that. But I do want to remind you this. When you planted your loved one in that graveyard, it was a double tomb. It was a double cave. Yes, they went in one side. But I'm glad, honey, there's coming a resurrection morning. Oh, when the dead in Christ arise first. And those that were saved, they will be caught up together with the Lord. And thank God on that day, we'll meet them and have a reunion in the clouds with our loved ones. What a day that'll be. Here's what John the Revelator says in Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven, and I saw a new earth. The first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Huh, that sounds like all the probable causes of mourning right there. Neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know why? Can I get dispensationally theological with you for just a moment? Matthew 5 is dealing with kingdom things. It is dealing with future things. That's why Jesus could say, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Because there's coming a day on down the line when all tears are going to be wiped away, when all sorrow is gone. Here's what one preacher said. It's almost like God up in heaven has a great big old hanky, and he's going to come by God's people, and he's going to dry those tears out of the corner of their eyes, whether it was death, whether it was disappointment, whether it was despair, whatever mourning, whatever sorrow you went through. I'm glad God's got a big old hanky. I don't know how it's all going to work, but he will dry all those tears away. No wonder our Lord could say, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That also tells me that you're going to make it. The psalmist said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. You know, we sing all those songs, I'll meet you in the morning. by and by when the morning comes. You know why we sing that? Because there's no night there. It's just always one morning. There is a morning for your morning. Blessed are they that mourn. I don't think y'all got that. There is a M-O-R-N-I-N-G for your M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. There's coming a day when God will dry those tears. Let's stand together. I preached 30 minutes. I appreciate your attention.